Lord, we pray for the servants, the thousand people from this ministry, at least, that are full-time, that are ministering in greater grace in 75 different countries, 700 plus churches, everyone, even if we were only two tonight, it means you are present with us. And that's the crumbs of at your table are better than the banqueting house of the wicked. And words of life mean a lot to us. And we are, every one of us, we are on a mission. We've been sent. As the Father sends me, so I send you. And we are here in your name. And we've gathered in your name tonight and ask for your Holy Spirit presence and ministry to excite us, comfort us, enlighten us, guide us, keep us, protect us, motivate us, touch us. And pastors in America, in all kinds of churches that are salt and light, thank you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. One little work that I want you to do, stand with me, turn to Romans 1, stand up, please. Thank you. Stand up, it's Wednesday, you got all this ready, spit and vinegar. Okay, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Just read it out loud with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the little phrase I want you to memorize. Ready? It's three times. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Again. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. One more time. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, are you, or me, am I ashamed? Why does he say it? Okay? Why does he say it? So, the little work I'm going to have you do before we preach is turn to your neighbor and say, I have been ashamed, or I could be ashamed, or maybe it has happened I have been ashamed. I read, I am not ashamed, but I have to be honest with you, it can happen that I am ashamed. And why? And your neighbor will say, why are you ashamed? And then you give an answer. Okay, go ahead. Okay, you may be seated. You may be seated. Yeah. The Apostle Paul was in the city of Corinth. I'll write the name of the city. And they considered the gospel foolish. Paul was in the city of Philippi, and he was put in prison for preaching. He was in the city of Athens, and they mocked him. He was in Galatia, and they stoned him. He was in Jerusalem and almost killed. Attacked, physically dragged, attacked, almost ripped apart, and delivered by the Romans. Why, after all of these experiences, could he just keep going? why, when he was under so much pressure, could he say, I am not ashamed of the gospel? He says it here, verse 16, for it is the power of God. Let's put down that word here. Power, dunamis, we get that word dynamite from that Greek word. It is power. It is the power of God. And then it says, verse 16, unto salvation. This word, unto salvation, means to rescue or save. Rescue. For it is the power of God to rescue a person, to actually save a person. It is real power. And Paul knew that. And many of our missionaries, when we read their newsletters, we kind of get a feeling of their personal excitement because they are seeing the power of God in the lives of people. It's very exciting when you are on the move and you find when the Spirit is leading us and you find that the Spirit is doing this. Pastor Adam Speedy has been working in Owings Mills, and I called him the other day to get a review of what is happening. And I'm kind of excited because when we started talking about Owings Mills, we did it by faith, but then many body members have jumped in and they feel right about it, that Owings Mills is a place for us. And so it isn't only just an idea that I have, but it's something the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Owings Mills, a part of Baltimore that is separate city, I suppose, but in our range of interest as a church. The Spirit is moving in the United States of America, and he must, because this work is the health of the nation, the blessing of a family, the power of God to rescue a person, the power of God to take a person from the woods, like Pastor Ray has been working with the team, and he has the numbers. But how many people have come out of the woods? How many have heard the gospel and been born again? Is DJ and his wife here? I think maybe. No, not right now. Okay. Their testimony today at the lunch wrap was a year ago they were in the woods. Now they have their own apartment. They've been born again. God has helped them and done that work. Amazing. Verse 16 says, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Now, let me explain something that's important for us to understand here. We have this world's population, I don't know the number, 7.4 billion. Maybe it's 7.5 today. So we could put them all over the world as little dots. Do you know that some of them are called the elect? Would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please? 2 Timothy 2. Verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, this is the apostle Paul, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. I'm in prison, but the word of God is not bound. I can still speak. The Bible is speaking. I have chains, but I'm sharing because Paul had it as a habit of life, as part of his understanding of the world. And look at the next verse, 10. It's a big one. Therefore, I endure all things for who? The elect, elect's sake. Who are the elect? They are amongst us. They are here. They are everywhere in the world. They are the elect. But I don't know who is the elect. God knows them that are his. It says later in the chapter, look at chapter 2 in verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. The Lord knows them that are his. Are they in Vietnam, Korea, China? Are they in the United States? Are they in Baltimore, Glen Burnie? Are they in Bel Air? Yeah. So what does he say about it? He goes, I endure all things for the elect's sake. It seems in the context, I will sit in the prison. I have chains. I will endure my trouble. But in my trouble, I will open my mouth. And I will do all I can for the elect's sake. Are they in the swimming pool at the health club? You know, I swim once or twice a week. And almost always I go over to the lifeguard. And I talk to him. I say, first of all, thanks for being here. And if I ever go down under, I expect you to pull me out. I say spiritual things to those young guys and girls. I say, do you see God in the room? Is God here? I talk to them about God. I have told them the gospel, but they might say they already believe or whatever it might be, but I do not know, and you do not know when you are speaking what God is doing, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. As we do not know how the bones do grow in a woman's womb, so we don't know the work of God. Sometimes it is very gentle, like Ruth from Moab coming back to Bethlehem, like Esther in the palace in Persia. We do not know the work of God. But look at what Paul said here, verse 10. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation. I will do whatever I can so they will obtain the salvation. He that winneth souls, another point, Proverbs 11:30. He that winneth souls. This is King James, but I want to say this word winneth is actually the word bring. He that brings people, brings souls. The word is used in 1 Samuel 16, a story you're all familiar with, when they went to find David, and Samuel went to Jesse, said, I have to look at all of your sons. So they brought all the sons, and then he said, do you have any other? He said, yeah, I have one more. And he said, bring him. It's the same word, bring him. Bring David, and he that brings people. You know, it seems like we're all able to bring people. I believe that we all have influence on people and we're able to bring them. We are able to bring them mentally with our faith, with our words, our love, our wisdom. We're able to bring people to a new way of thinking. God does that. God draws people to himself. We are able to, like, it might not be automatic. I like when Pastor Satellite was here with us last year. He said, you know, in China, when people come to the church, they are unbelievers. They come, and they come for maybe 1 year. And they are processing the whole thing about being a believer or not. And he said, here, it looks like, you know, people make a decision like in a meeting and they raise their hand and they get saved this way, and they do. But he said, in China, it happens that we know these people that are seeking and searching and asking questions. And then when they make a decision, they say to the pastor, I want to be saved. And he said it might take a year. And then they make their decision. The church gathers around them and they have a party. They have a party because the person came to Christ. And they knew what they were doing and they had been under the conviction of the Spirit. I believe it's only a moment. I believe that, like the stories we read in the book of Acts, there's no doubt about it. But some people need to be brought. He that brings souls, and they bring that, we bring them by the gifts of the Spirit of 1 Corinthians 12. It's great. The elect. You could say, why are you sharing your faith and handing out tracts in Towson or Rosedale or Dundalk? Because of the elect. Why do you share your faith in the hair salon or at the university campus? Or why do you want to be known in your community as a Christian? Because of the elect. Why do you go in your neighborhood and, like, just sow seed of love and faith and encouragement to the people in our neighborhood? We have these backyard conversations or talks, or Christmas season is coming and we'd like to invite them to our celebration. We would like to bring souls, bring them along the way, answer their questions, talk to them, listen to them, care about them, give them mercy, encourage them in faith, because I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. A clean conscience. Where could I find this? A clean conscience. I am forgiven of my sin. Billy Graham's organization had statistics on how many people in the average American neighborhood in the neighborhood are contemplating suicide. And do you remember those numbers? I've read those numbers. It was like, in our neighborhood, there are 8 people that are contemplating suicide. Maybe they never do it, but they are thinking about it. There are so many people that are depressed, so many people that have addictions, so many people that have personal problems, and we are ashamed of the gospel. Why? Why? Because we may be misunderstood. We may be considered to be, you know, inappropriately talking, or maybe somehow labeled as a zealot, or somehow misunderstood, or maybe we can't make it. We are awkward with our communication. We don't know how to communicate. Maybe I remember one brother told me, he may be listening now down in Florida. He is a Jewish brother and in a nice neighborhood in Florida, but he got saved And one of the things, he went with the church to go out soul winning. And they were soul winning in an area where maybe his neighbors would be shopping. And he said, we were out handing out. And he said, I would just run around and hide behind the corner of the building. I didn't want my neighbors to see me out there handing out tracts with these people. I'm thankful that he was honest and able to talk about it. But we understand what he's saying. But think again. Many times people don't know actually how to evaluate you or me anyway. And besides, really, doesn't matter. Let me share something with you. In Acts chapter 10, the Spirit led Peter to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Gentile. And he had gathered all his friends, and not all of them, but it says in the house where he has relatives and friends in the house. And they had sent for Peter, and Peter came up from the Tel Aviv area of Israel. We were just in Israel, so we know the geography a little bit. And we were in Caesarea in the ruins of that harbor city that King Agrippa had built. Very fascinating. And as we were standing in those original streets where perhaps the Apostle Paul, who was imprisoned there, where the Apostle Peter preached in Cornelius's house, we were there, and we could imagine first century Christians walking around in Caesarea and a little bit on edge because they have found something that they had never known about. They have found something that just changed their world. And one of them was Cornelius. When Peter preached, the Spirit fell, and they received Christ. And just for God to make it clear to Peter that these are sisters and brothers, they spoke in tongues, like Peter did in the book of Acts in chapter 2. They spoke in tongues in that city of Caesarea, and Peter said, what could prevent these people from being baptized? What could prevent these people from being part of what is happening? God has showed it to us. It is clear. These are our sisters and brothers. When he went to Jerusalem, he was questioned. We heard that you were speaking with Gentiles, that you ate with the Gentiles. You ate with them unclean food. You had the joy of God's work and then the intimidating judgment of the religion. And Peter struggled with that. But let me just say this. When you find the joy of leading somebody to Christ, nothing else matters. When you find somebody comes to Christ and you realize that this person's life, they have joy. It's called the joy of the soul winner. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, the joy of a soul winner. It's a great sentence. Somebody said it in our staff meeting on Tuesday. The joy of a soul winner. The Child Evangelism Fellowship that goes to five schools in the area. These workers right from here, this congregation, they go to those schools and these children are learning about Jesus Christ. And these workers are very happy to see the children and the parents come to Christ, be forgiven, be encouraged, and it's very exciting when the Spirit begins to move in their hearts and they start to walk by faith and they keep coming and they come back and they keep coming and we are bringing them. I want to say, could you bring somebody? Could you care about it? And no, God is saying the elect are here. You meet them in the motorcycle group with Pastor Butch. They are out on the street. They are bringing. Pastor Ray is bringing. The teachers are bringing. And then I got to ask you, have you ever brought somebody to Christ? Has it ever happened in your life that you were able to bring somebody to Christ? The joy of it. Let's close by turning to John 4. In verse 4, he must go through Samaria. Verse 6, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, noon. He is thirsty. He is weary. He is there at noon. And he has a woman there who comes. Children are fun to talk to, but you got to be careful if they are strangers and you're an adult speaking to a child on the street. You need to realize it might not be appropriate to talk to their parents. If you can, or if you have the platform for it, then children are beautiful people to talk to, the elect. A woman on a park bench, somebody in a dentist's office, on a bus at a bus stop, somebody in a nursing home, being ready with an awareness, not like I am witnessing to everybody on the elevator, everybody in the office. I'm not doing it at work, but I'm looking, I am aware, and sometimes the Spirit can show you, and you can have a very polite and very meaningful conversation where you are a good listener. Not a preacher, but a listener. And you listen like Jesus does to this woman. There's seven times when he's giving her an opportunity to speak. You speak. I have a message. I will bring you. I will lead you. God is working in your heart. I know my Father has shown it to me. I came here with a divine appointment in mind. And you are the woman. It is so exciting. It is so exciting. It is so precious. It is so awesome. At the end of the story, the disciples come and they're amazed that he's there talking to the woman. And look at how it goes. Verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I want to change that a little bit. Eat, Lord, eat. And he goes, I have meat to eat that you don't know about. And I want to change those words a little bit. I have wisdom you don't know about. I have joy. I have a connection with this woman that you don't know about. I have a vision in my heart for the world that you don't know about. I have a purpose that is going. And that is one thing that we are afraid of with our neighbors and people that maybe we have some connection with. It's kind of like this house that we always draw with the two levels, you know. We are living in this one, and this is where everybody is trying to be excited and happy. The Boston Red Sox won the World Series, you know. And then this bit of information. And then also I'm excited about Friday night. And so on. But Jesus says, I have something, and I need you guys to know it too, because in this house, there is joy that is better than the World Series, the Super Bowl, the lottery. It's better than a new job, a new car, better than a new girlfriend, better than your greatest hopes and desires. I have something that is going on in my life, and it is called the ministry of Christ, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I'll put down a couple words. One is wisdom. This wisdom the world does not know. I am smarter than many of the greatest minds in the world, because I'm on track with what God is doing in the Holy Spirit. I'm not smarter in one sense. I mean, of course not. We are not. But actually, we are. We have found the point. We have found the whole thing. We have found that there is heaven, there is God, there is the gospel, there is a resurrection, there is eternal life, there is forgiveness, there is the Holy Spirit, or there is a living Bible. We have found. Jesus is saying to the guys, I got something going on you don't know about. But yeah, I'll tell you. The second word is joy. Everybody's looking for it. I got it. I'm a soul winner. I'm a person that's looking for the soul. I don't mean I'm always talking about Jesus. I don't mean that. I talk in wisdom, and I'm looking for, and Jesus is talking about the woman's husbands, the husbands of the woman, and her latest boyfriend. He's talking about her life. He's talking about how, and you can plug in there any narrative, any kind of the cancer, the loss of a job, the disappointment, the broken heart, the depression. Somebody, their dog died, and they're in a deep depression because their dog died. That's their world. And it's very exciting when God is caring about this world on the first floor of the house. And we can talk there and bring them. For it is the power of God to rescue people. Rescue them. Oh, amazing. Rescue them from hell. That word is just shocking. Rescue them from judgment. Rescue them from this. I have joy you don't know of. I have wisdom you don't know of. And then I'll just say, what else could we say? You can put in there. I have relationship. I have purpose. I have faith. And this is where we struggle. I can't believe it that I would be reduced to the paint on the room. The paint is a big deal. I can't believe I'd be reduced to a golf game or a World Series or the weather or politics or something like this. That's important stuff. But I can't believe that my life as a Christian is reduced to comfort and convenience and money and job and opportunities and popularity and reputation. I can't believe it, but I can. I can. Or passivity or indifference. And one brother said, I don't soul win anymore. I don't soul win anymore. And I was thinking about that. I'm just thinking. We have this word in the, you know, this landmarks, right? We have landmarks, and I want to change it. Mind marks. I have mind marks. I have my mind marks, and they're not going to move. If I stop being a soul winner, and maybe I have somehow in the course of my life, but I go back to it. I go back to it because I know that there are people that are the elect. And it takes a track, a conversation, a prayer. God, answer our prayer, winning people to you and finding them and going back and bringing them and going back and bring them again and go back and get them again and bring them again. I know in my life, in the first 6 months or year of being a believer, I was very fragile, like a tottering fence, not knowing, but then like somebody would call, somebody would put their hand on my shoulder, somebody would say a prayer for me, and they would bring me along the way. And the value of a soul is worth the entire world. And God has given you gifts so that you can use those gifts to bring souls. Bring people to himself. Bring them to the faith. Bring them to loving the Bible. Bring them to mission. Bring them to caring. Bring them to a very small, it is just a small little thing, but it's a beautiful thing because God is in it. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel. It is so powerful. It is God's message and God's work. On Saturday morning, we meet down at the Fellowship Hall. Let's pack that room out this Saturday. Let's have a good old-fashioned good time handing out tracts Saturday for an hour and a half or 2 hours. Let's go out, all of us, let's go out with thousands of tracts and share the message of Christ with whoever. And everybody that has a dog, you say, you got a dog, beautiful dog. Beautiful dog. Do you love your dog? What's his name? In a minute, you have an open door to say, could I say something to you from my heart? May I ask you a personal question? And they're such kind people. And this is what we want to do. Bring people. And we are wise if we do it. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you for what we have seen through the years. We are indebted to the barbarian and the Scythian. We are indebted. We have seen it, and we follow it. We follow it. We follow you. Anyone here tonight is not a believer in Jesus. You, please come. By faith, by faith. You'll never be ready in one sense. Just come by faith. You have some questions, God will answer you. Come by faith in him tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, make us ministers, not a work of the flesh, but a great work of faith with our stammering lips and our hearts of love and faith. May we open our mouth and lead us, Lord, for the elect's sake. In Christ's name, amen.